Very glad that you're here. Good to have Stacy back with us and Miss Judy. We always miss people when they're not here. I don't know what we're going to call this. I don't really have a title for it or anything. But does anybody, y'all remember the scripture that I brought last week? The Revelation chapter 3. Do y'all remember that? Only Sandy? No one remembers it. Beth, would you put up Proverbs 25:2, please? Now, I quoted this scripture last week. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search out a thing." So what that tells me is God doesn't just tell you everything. Sometimes he'll give you a scripture, he'll give you a word, something, but how many knows you got to go look it up. You got to go study it. You're the one's got to think about it. You're the one got to meditate on it. And as you do, revelation comes. So here in Revelation 3, we're going to read that again this morning. Excuse me. We're going to start in verse 7. I've got this in the Amplified version. It says, "Unto the angel or the messenger of the assembly, the church in Philadelphia write." And I told you, I believe the Lord spoke these scriptures to us, to this church. "These are the words of the Holy One, the true One, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open. I know your record of works and what you are doing. See, I have set before you a door wide open, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and guarded my message and have not renounced or denied my name." He says, "Take note, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not." And when you go and you look in another translation of the Living Bible, he talks about kind of like those that says they are of God, but they're really not. He says, "But lie, behold, I will make them to come and bow down before your feet and learn and acknowledge that I have loved you. Because you have guarded and kept my word of patient endurance, have held fast the lesson of my patience with the expectant endurance that I give you. I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial, testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown." Now, Beth will put it on the screen if you don't want to turn there. But Isaiah 45. This is a direct cross reference from that verse. It's verse 14. He says, "Thus says the Lord, the labor and wealth of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over to you and they shall be yours. They shall follow you in chains of subjection to you. They shall come over and they shall fall down before you. They shall make supplication to you saying, surely God is with you and there is no other, no God besides him." Now when the Lord gave me that verse in Revelation chapter 3, I didn't really know what he was talking about. But I felt in my heart that he wasn't just saying it to me, but like he was saying it to this body here. I mean, he may say one thing to this church, he may say something else to another church, you know, all in line. Because every person has an individual destiny, calling, and all that. But then how many knows that a whole entire body has their part that plays in a bigger picture in the overall whole, overall of the body of Christ. So I began to look at this, and I began to study this, and so that's what we're going to do this morning. The word door there means to be a portal or an entrance. Y'all remember also the scripture, I think it's in Revelation, where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open up, I'll come in to him and I'll dine with him and him with me," and all that. What's that mean? That door's closed. You get it? The person's heart is closed. He can't get in because the door is closed. The scripture that he gave us, he said, "I have set before you a door that is wide open." A door that God opens has the favor of God upon it. It has the grace of God, right? So I looked it up. It says a portal or entrance. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16. The word door in that verse begin to stick out to me as I meditated on it. So that's what I begin to study here in 1 Corinthians 16. Let me get over there. Verse 8 through 9. How do I get that? I got it in both, so I'll read it in both. He says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." And the Amplified says it this way, "I will remain in Ephesus, however, until Pentecost." He says, "For a wide door of opportunity for effectual service has opened to me there, a great and promising one, and there are many adversaries." Every door that God opens, how many knows there's adversaries surrounding that door? Why? Because he said over there, I can't remember now exactly where it's at, but anyway, whenever Peter had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, you remember? He goes on down, he says, "Upon this I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Sorry, I got a lot of stuff going on this morning. Prevail against it. But then he goes on down and he says, "And I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom." That's what we're of, right? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're born again. We're kingdom people, amen? So he says, "I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom." What does keys do? Keys lock doors, keys unlock doors. I was thinking about this. Probably the easiest way that I can describe it is a situation that happened, I don't know, several years ago, I guess. But whenever you're praying, you need to be looking on the inside. Look down in here. Don't look up here. Why? Your spirit's not up here, and God don't talk to your ears, your physical ears. He talks to you in and through your spirit, and sometimes your mind has to get understanding of what he's saying. But whenever you're praying, look on the inside. Pray to God, but look on the inside. So that's what I was doing one time. Mama was having a real hard time. Some things had went on. My ex-sister-in-law wouldn't let her see Katie and May, which is her grandkids. All this, you know, yada yada, and it's going on for a pretty good while, and I mean, Mama's having a really hard time with this, and I'm praying for her and all of that, you know, and it's just like, the more I pray, it doesn't seem like it's helping her any or whatever. So anyway, one day I was praying for her and the situation and all of that, and I'm looking down on the inside in here while I'm praying for her, and all of a sudden I felt to pray for my ex-sister-in-law. So I began to follow that leading. Why? The Holy Ghost knows the key to every door. And most of the time, I would say all the time probably, you must take care of things in the spirit before you can handle them in the natural, because that's where they originate. Everything in this realm came out of that realm. You got it? Whether it's good or bad, right? The devil wasn't in this realm. He came out of that realm. All the demons was in that realm before they became here in this one. So as I began to pray for my ex-sister-in-law, I don't remember the words that I even said, but I saw in my spirit, y'all remember the old-timey doors and they have what they call skeleton keys? I saw a door like that, and I saw the lock, and I saw like somebody put in a skeleton key and turned it, and the door opened. And when it did, in my spirit, I felt a release, like it's done. Well, that was like on a Monday or Tuesday, I think. Well, I come to church on a Wednesday night. I come out the door, and Mama's telling Sandy how the situation has changed. Now, I'm not trying to take credit for the praying. I'm sure I was not the only one praying. I'm just saying, in my praying, the part that I was supposed to be effectually doing, I finally got it. When I got off of Mama and I began to be led. See, you need to be led who, what, everything, why, because you're limited in your knowledge that you have. You're limited. You don't know everything, and we're praying to a God with the leadership of the Holy Spirit that does know everything, right? He searches our hearts and minds. My voice is getting better. He searches God's heart and mind, right? He knows everything. He knows the plan and the purposes that God has. So it would be very prideful or ignorant for me not to endeavor to be led in what I pray. Why? God's not my genie in a bottle. Every one of us has a destiny on the inside of you. You were born with it. And when you get born again, God begins to, by the Holy Spirit and the confirmation of His Word, reveal to you what that destiny and that plan is. And it's usually just a little bit at a time. It's usually every open door at a time. Right? So here He says there, but with that open door, what? Many adversaries. Why? Because, see, we may have the keys of the kingdom, but that didn't do away with the devil and demons that has people bound. That's why I asked you to pray the other day to maybe, if you haven't been praying this way, to change it. You know, I know we say, thank you, Lord, for sending them from the north, the south, the east, the west, and I say all the rest, and that's good and everything. But I believe that the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. Don't just thank me for them. Command these people. Demand the devil turn these people loose. Why? Because that's exactly what Sandy and maybe others, but I know she did for us. And we about wore her out. Didn't we, Sandy? But she prevailed. She overcame. Glory to God. And we're here today. Why? Because we were so bound and the devil didn't want to turn us loose. But how many knows whenever we begin to pray according to the will of God? Because how many knows God begins to deal with people? The Bible says no man comes to the Father lest he's drawn. How many knows if he's inspiring us to pray for them, he's wanting them. Now is the time. So what do? Then we must take authority over the devil. We must bind him up. The Bible says lock the door. Right? We have the power to bind and to loose. Whatever we bind on earth, what is bound. And he is the number one that we bind. Him and all his cohorts, we cancel his assignment that he has against people, and he must turn them loose. And I have been being prompted to begin to speak to these people. I'll just tell you this way. I pray for y'all every day. I found prayers in the Bible that the Apostle Paul and others prayed for the churches and the people that they minister to, and I pray for those. I pray those for y'all every day. And in one of those is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, where he talks, I thank the Lord for the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Why? They are gifts given unto us. And how many knows they are the ones that is on the front lines? They're not the ones usually that is sitting in the pew. They're out there doing what? The work of the ministry to perfect and to equip us that are sitting in the pews and things. So I pray for them. But then he goes on down and he talks about that which each joint supplies, right? Knitly, fit. And join together. There is people here right now. You're here because God called you here. You are the part of the puzzle of the body of Christ. There's people that's still out there that is part of the puzzle of the body of Christ, and they're not here. So guess what's happening? This body's not being supplied like what God wants it to or that it can be. Why? Because he said, first of all, he gave the fivefold ministry, right? For the perfecting and the equipping of the saints. And the second was he gave the body of Christ because every joint supplies something. Like right now, the gift that God has given me is supposed to be supplying something to you. When I go sit down and I give a testimony or I just release my faith. See, you can cause me to say things. I have no idea even what I said. There's times I say things because of y'all believing God. I'm just a vessel, right? You're believing God, pulling on the anointing and all that. And sometimes I'll say something. I'll be like, on the inside, y'all don't say it, but I'll be, wow. That's good. Why? It was not me, and I know it wasn't me. But do you understand the point that I'm getting at? And there's people, see, before he comes, we must become the glorious church. We have to. He cannot come until we are. According to Scripture, y'all getting real quiet now. According to the Scripture, just in Ephesians alone, he cannot come until we are that glorious church, right? Because that's who he's coming back for, not to the earth, but in the clouds, right? We're going to go to meet him in the air, the Bible says. Well, we must be the glorious church, and the Bible says she's one, she's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. How can we get there if we're not nourished up by all the rest of the body? So therefore, they must come. But you better believe the devil doesn't want to turn them loose. Why? He knows the Scriptures. He knows what's got to happen. He probably knows them better than we do most of the time, right? So what does he do? He tries to stop the fivefold ministry. I mean, there's teaching going around now today that there are no modern-day prophets anymore, and I'm here to tell you that's a lie. If it's not a lie, tell me chapter and verse, at least two different ministers, two places that they have been done away with. Ain't nobody in this room that can, I don't believe. Why? Because he said those five. Those five are in the very same verse without even taking a breath. There's no comma or anything, no period, right? So those five, how can you take out two? I've been hearing here lately that there are no modern-day apostles anymore. Well, if there are no modern-day apostles, who's starting the works? Who's laying the foundations? You get what I'm saying? That's what apostles do. We would call a lot of them today missionaries. Why? A lot of them come forth from this country over to other countries, and they begin to start ministries there. The apostles, they deal with foundational principles and doctrines and things like that. Why? They are the establishing. right, of a thing. A lot of times they'll start ministries, just like here. Your pastor is also an apostle. Like here, to my knowledge, we was the first ones to ever do a food ministry in Blossville. To my knowledge, we was the first ones to ever have a clothing and household goods and things ministry. Do you know how many of them's doing it now? Almost every one of them. Who started it? God, number one, but through your pastor, which is also an apostle, who started this church. God did number one, but he always has to use a person. He used your pastor. Why? He is also an apostle. So therefore, you must have all five. And if I was the devil, I would do the same thing. Wouldn't you? Why? Because his plan is to stop. He's got to try to stop us from becoming that glorious church, and he's so dumb, he's deceived into thinking he can, but he cannot. Why? The word's already been spoken. God's done said it. But my point to all that is, begin to call these people in. Begin to bind and loose over these people. Loose the Spirit of God. Loose the presence of God. Why? Because we got to have them. They've got something they're going to impart to us in these services. We have. They can never be what they're supposed to be and never reach the potential that they're supposed to without us. Why? We have a supply for them. Excuse me. A lot of people, when they think about going to church, and I'm not talking to y'all, I want to thank all of y'all, every one of y'all in here that has been so faithful to God, and not only to God, but to us also, to be here and to do and to pray and impart and do whatever your supply is here. But we've got to have them. And a lot of people, when they think about going to church, they wake up, okay, Lord, whether you want me to go to church. Are you serious? You should have been on that a long time ago. Thus, you just got saved yesterday. Why? He has a place. He has a place for everybody. And everybody's going to have to get in their proper slot in God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Right? And 13. Everybody has a spot. Somebody is an eye. Somebody is an ear. Somebody is a mouth. Somebody is a toe, right? Somebody is something in the body. And we need all the parts of the body, just like we need the fivefold ministry. Why? Because he says the fivefold ministry is given for the perfecting or the full equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. Let's look at, I have been speaking to them, the people that's supposed to be here. No, not everybody. I tell God, God, you know the ones you've chosen. I don't know who they are, but you know the ones that you've chosen. And I begin to speak to you and prophesy to you just like Ezekiel did to the dry bones. Why? Because they are bone of our bone, right? If they're joined to us, they're not bone over there at the Methodist Church. They're bone of our bone here. You get here. I prophesy to you, bones come together, right? Why? Because they're bone of our bone, just like I'm bone of Scotty's bone. Why? He's my husband. And if God has chosen for them to be here, then we are the bones they got to be connected to. And we command that you come together right now in the name of Jesus, right? Whew. That's good. Y'all tell my voice changed.
Yeah.
Oh, when he shows up, everything gets good. let's see. I think I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I've got this in King James and Amplified, verse 12. King James verse. He says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door, now he's going to another place, right? He says, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now notice what let me read that in the Amplified. He says, now when I arrived at Troas, what's he going to do? To preach, right? God has given us an open door to minister. He says, the good news, the gospel of Christ, a door of opportunity was opened for me in the Lord. Who opened the door? The Lord opened the door, right? Just like us, I believe with all my heart, God gave that scripture to me for this church about the open door. He set before us a wide open door. Now, there's many adversaries out there. So I would ask you, don't come to this service without praying. Now, I'm not just talking about praying for the minister. I'm talking about praying for the entire service. I pray for you every day that you have willing hearts, that causes you to have hearing ears, that you hear God, that you are his sheep and you hear him, right? You know his voice. So I would ask every one of you, why? It would be in your best interest to pray. before you come to the services. Number one, help you if you're not in the right spirit. Get in the right spirit. Get on the page that God is speaking at the time. Then when we all come together, everybody's done been prayed for, and we can just boom, boom, boom. Right? Why? Because we have many adversaries that wants to shut the church down. Many adversaries that would like to come in and distort and disrupt and all this other stuff and distract. Why? So God can accomplish the reason for calling us here together. He says, I prepare a table before you, what? In the very presence of your enemies. So when we're all prayed up and we've handled and took care of business in the Spirit, we can all come in here right in the presence of our enemies that come to church at different times, and we can do what? Eat. Be filled. Right? His purpose and His plan can be accomplished. I don't just go to church to check my little box that I went to church. I go to church, why? Number one, because I believe God told me to. And number two, can I eat at home? Yes, I can, but I can't fellowship with you at home. I can't get the edification at home. I can't get the supply in my house that I get from you. And we're all in the glorious church, right? So let's look here. What did I tell y'all? 2 Corinthians? Did I read that? I did, didn't I? Okay. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4. God is good, amen? All the time, God is good, and all by Himself. 4. I don't got that. I got that in the Amplified. Verse 1, he says, masters, on your part, deal with your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that also you have a master in heaven. Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life. You hear that? People that are in unbelief don't pray much. Why? It takes faith to pray. Right? He goes on and he says, being both alert, pay attention when you're praying, and intent, means be effective, be purposeful in your praying. He goes on, he says, in your praying, with thanksgiving, being both alert and intent. Oh, I went on. Verse 3, and at the same time, pray for us also. He says, that God may open a door. What you need to be praying for? That God will open a door. God opened a door for Sandy. God opened a door for Samantha. God's been having me pray here lately. It started, the first time that I can remember noticing it was the prayer thing we just had. Y'all gonna have to help me this morning. Okay, it's hard for me to think. Anyway, the prayer and praise service that we just had, I was over here and I was praying, and all of a sudden I was praying in tongues, and then all of a sudden it just come out of me, God give us open doors, God give us outreaches, Lord enlarge our territory. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know what the door is, you know, or the outreaches or anything like that. Why? Because God has set before us the door. There is a harvest out there that we must get. Right? We must get it. Even Jesus Himself said, pray the Lord of the harvest. What? That He would send laborers. Well, we can't do all we're supposed to do without the people that's supposed to be here to do it. So we call them in, right? And then God's been having me pray, Lord, to give us outreaches. Enlarge our territory. Our territory expands all the way. There's people come to our giveaway from Coleman. I'm just talking about the giveaway right now. Coleman, I mean, all over the place. You know, Abbeville, all over the place if you just ask them. You know, and surrounding areas. So that's where our territory is right now. But we need enlargement. God wants enlargement of our territory. And not only for that, but also not just for the food ministry, but to pray for people, to get people born again, to spread the word with them and different things, right? And listen, don't even come to giveaway without praying. I forgot. Last week was just a really bad week. But anyway, I had forgot. I reckon that 31 days in that month got me messed up, and you thought giveaway was the Saturday or whatever. I forgot to pray for the giveaway before I got here. I woke up Saturday morning, I'm like, I ain't even prayed for the giveaway. I usually start on that Thursday and Friday. Why? Because we got a lot of devils, in case y'all ain't noticed, come through that giveaway. I am not talking about people. I'm talking about people that carry real demonic spirits on them and allow them to work through them. We had a lot of problems last giveaway about different things or whatever. But how many knows, a lot of times if we will pray and handle these things in the Spirit, God can show you things to come. That's one of the things of the Holy Spirit, and He ain't just talking about just end time stuff or future stuff. He can show you now on Friday night what somebody's going to be trying to do Saturday, right? And the plans of the enemy can be shut down. They can be thwarted if we take care of them in the spirit. So I forgot to pray, and so then by the time I'm standing back there and Scotty's praying, I thought, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm so sorry I forgot to pray. I forgot to pray, I'm so sorry. Why? Because that's not just a food giveaway to me. I don't believe it is to God either. There's things we're supposed to happen. And in case y'all didn't know, that I know y'all probably don't know that are down there, but all of us that are up here, nobody will come in and let us pray for them anymore. COVID did a real number on people coming in and us praying for them. I tell every one of them when I ask them how many families to get their food, I tell them, you go on in and be prayed for. Not a one of them's come in and I don't know, 4 or 5 months, something like that maybe. We need to pray over these people. Even though we might not can do it right there, we need to be praying for them before we get here. Why? God knows who's going to be here, right? He knows who's coming through those lines. God, give us an open door. Help us to be sensitive. Lead us to the one God that you're dealing with our heart right now. Because no man comes to the Father lest he's drawn. But God's always dealing with somebody. Always. We just need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know which one. I mean, he could have us tell us which one, and we just go up and say, could I pray for you? And they just start crying because of the anointing and the presence of God that's on our lives, right? Let's see. Did I read that? What? All right. I get started on that, and I forget where I'm at. Oh, yeah. We got to verse 3. He says, and at the same time, pray for us also that God may open a door to us for the gospel to proclaim the mystery concerning Christ, the Messiah, on account of which I am in prison. He says that I may proclaim it fully and make it clear, speak boldly, and unfold that mystery as is my duty. You hear that? Every one of us, the Bible says, has been given. If you've been born again, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. He goes on and he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, outside. In other words, not in the church or the body. What? Redeeming the time. How far did I get with that? Just verse 4? Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Acts 14. I got this in the Amplified, verse 26. It says, and from there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had first been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had now completed. Arriving there, they gathered the church together and declared all that God had accomplished with them and how he had opened to the Gentiles a door of faith in Jesus as the Messiah, through whom we obtain salvation in the kingdom of God. Now go over to Matthew 24. I've got this in the King James here. What was that? I'm going to start reading for time's sake in verse 33. He says, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, we know what Matthew 24 says, right? The birth pangs, the nations in turmoil, all that. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, what? Even at the doors. Jesus is standing at the door. He's about to come, right? He goes on and he says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now go back and, well, let me read the next verse. He says, for as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, we have very turbulent times right now, and there's more coming. That is a shaking coming and everything. But then things, God's coming, and he's going to make it all good. Why? Righteousness is going to prevail. Then we're going to be eating and drinking and everybody being merry and glad. See, some people, they get upset and they think he's coming whenever chaos. No. That's not what it says. It's not when there's chaos. It says when there's peace and safety, beware. Why? There's going to come a 7-year peace treaty according to the word. And in the middle of that peace treaty, somebody's going to break it. Right? So that tells me he's coming at the time of peace. But notice what he says here. He says it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. God is so good and he is so long-suffering. God has talked about the things that's coming on the earth, the things that's coming, the judgment that's coming on certain people right now and different things. But when you go back to Noah's day, God told Noah to build the ark. Why? Judgment's coming. Noah built that ark for 120 years, according to Scripture, if I'm remembering right. How long-suffering and merciful is God? The Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached to these people, right, for 120 years. But then after that 120 years, they was all doing their thing, same thing they had always done. It's going to be exactly like that. But the thing about it is, in Noah's day, there was only 8 people that was righteous. There's more than 8 people here. So God's not going to do away with the United States, right? But he is going to deal with and judge and take care of a lot of people in situations. It's already started or whatever. But he says it is going to be, when he comes, it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, you had sons of God that had slept with women, right? They had created giants, all this stuff. The Bible talks about how that every man, except for those 8, every man or person's thoughts was set on doing evil to the point to where God said, I repent that I even made man. That's exactly the way it's going to be when he comes. Do you understand God saying that same thing now? There were certain things that was going on in that day that had come to a climax. There's certain things going on in our day of the wickedness that has come to a climax, to the end, to its judgment, to its fullness. The Bible talks about when the cup gets full, right? God judges. Well, the thing about abortion, you cannot have all these millions of babies aborted and the cup not get full. You cannot. You've got all this wokeism that they talk about. Listen, I am awake, but I am not woke. The Bible says for us to be awake, be alert, right? Redeeming the time, knowing that the times are evil that we live in. All this transgenderism and this wokeism is coming to its climax. Listen to me if you need help. Women have certain things that they have in their body to have children, okay? I don't care if you cut something off and make a hole or whatever you do. I don't know those exact words to say that, but y'all know what I'm trying to say, right? If you are a man and you're trying to become a woman, which you can never be, they cut something off and they make you a place or whatever. You don't need no tampons in no bathroom. You cannot have a period. You cannot. Why? It doesn't just take that. You've got to have a uterus. You've got to have ovaries. You've got to have correct hormones at the right limits and different things like that. All of that complex stuff. So don't, I'm telling you, they was on Dr. Phil trying to convince Dr. Phil that they have one. And I'm like, dude, if you really knew what it was to be like a woman, you wouldn't want to be one. That tells me you don't got a clue. I don't know any woman that enjoys that. But you run around here trying to tell all of us how you have one. No, you don't. You're a liar. And you cannot. But see, it's an ideology. It's a way of thinking. They want us to get in agreement with their mental illness. I don't care what you think. Look it up. Years ago, stuff like that was called a mental illness. Why? Because it is a way of thinking. It's not something just like this. Say I wanted to, identify as a black, lesbian, pregnant male. They tell me I can't do that, Samantha. But they can identify as a man or a woman. They can identify as a dog or a cat or a wolf or an alien, whatever. But they tell me I cannot identify as black. Why? I can't change my skin color. So that's not included in their way of thinking. Do you get what I'm saying? They want us, the ones that think right and properly, to get into agreement. Listen, if you got pronouns as we, they, and us, you're a demon.
When you look at the Bible, whenever Jesus cast the demon out, when he come to the man, he said, "Who are you?" He said, "We are legion." Why? We are many. We. Do you hear them? They got pronouns. Us, we, they. That means there's more than just you in there, honey. And it ain't of God. It is not the Holy Spirit. Don't get in agreement with that stuff. Why? Because they're going to take you down the same rabbit hole of this stuff. And it's not right. They have to have their thinking changed. They have to have their mind renewed. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about people or anything. I understand. I've had a lot of bad thinking of my own in a lot of different areas, and it's not any different. But it's come to the climax of its time. Do you understand? They say that our population is down 6% further than it has ever been in the entire, since they started counting it. You know why? Transgenders can't have no babies. You can adopt, but you can only adopt from the heterosexuals that's having them. Why, you think they want your kids? Why? They cannot reproduce. So they need yours. They need to indoctrinate yours. But how many knows God is faithful? And he's so good. He has us that we see right, and we pray for these people, and we do all that we can to get them out of this kind of stuff. I'm already hearing stories of people that are in their early 20s that they went and they had these changes, and if the women that tried to become men and had all their stuff took out and off and all this stuff and taking the hormone. Do you understand that in... Now, my brother tells me this. Y'all don't know he's in prison or whatever. He tells me he has to buy an Advil or a Tylenol in prison. Which is understandable. You know, you're not there for a holiday. But then at the same time, and I've met some of these that he's talking about. They've been out there. Or not met them, I've seen them. That he's talking about. Some of the transgenders that are in the prison system, they give them their hormones free. You're paying for that. I'm paying for that. God don't like that, and I don't like that. But thank God he's going to come and change it all. Right? Let's go on here where we got to. I don't even remember now. Did we read all that? Oh, we didn't start? Sorry. I just have to say it as it comes to me. What did I say? Matthew 24, what? Oh, we got on 38. Oh. He says, "For isn't in the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not," right? That we think not, he says, "the Son of Man's going to come." I should get a drink here. Gosh, I just got about 5 minutes, 6 minutes. Skip that one. Let's go to Acts 2. I'm going to say this real quick. There may not be anybody in here. It could be somebody listening by way of internet, Facebook, or whatever. We all still got problems. We all still got issues, if you want to call them that, whatever. None of us are yet perfected in our flesh entirely yet. So we all got things we deal with, issues and all that stuff. But you cannot look at your issues, your imperfections all the time and stay in faith. You're going to have to, I'm not telling, stop focusing on those, in other words. You cannot focus on those and be in faith. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, right? He's the one that's going to perfect the church. He's the one that's going to perfect you. He's the one going to do the work in us, right? Now, we work with him. It's a process. But at the same time, there's sometimes people focus so much on their shortcomings, on what they're not, what they don't have, what they ain't, and all this stuff, and somebody else is better, and somebody else is closer to the Lord, or whatever the case may be. Stop looking at all that, because you cannot fly. Y'all remember the song? I believe I can fly. You cannot fly if you focus on all that. You can only fly if you focus on Him, because He has no limits except the ones that you put on Him. And whenever you focus on those things, you put your own limits on Him. He doesn't have a limit with you. He's already called you more than a conqueror, right? He's already made you that in the spirit realm. And if He made you that in the spirit realm, with your help, He can get you that in the natural too. Amen? So don't do it. If you do something, repent of it and keep your mind off of that. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 15. Now, we know the story before this. They had been all filled with baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they're beginning to prophesy and speak with other tongues and all that. And here Peter begins to stand up and preach. But here in, I'm going to tell you here what's coming. We're going to start in verse 15. He says, "For these are not drunk, because they was prophesying and speaking in tongues, they thought they was physically drunk." He says, "These are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." I had that in the Amplified, I'm sorry. He goes on, verse 16, he says, "But instead, this is the beginning, not the end." Do you realize we are the book of Acts? The book of Acts has never stopped. God started the church in the book of Acts, and we are the church, and it'll be written till He comes. Right? It's just not being written down in the Bible. The Bible talks about the Apostle Paul. He said, we're to be living epistles, right? Read of all men. We are in the book of Acts. This was just the beginning of it. What was spoken through the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass," and I'm here to tell you it's going to come to pass again. Why? Because there's coming a last day harvest like this world has never seen before He comes. He goes on and he says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall," what? Prophesy. The Bible says, "Believe the prophet and prosper." When you hear the prophet say something and it's agreement with you, begin saying it. That's why the devil wants the prophets gone. They voice it, we get in line, and we all start prophesying it, right? And it comes to pass. He goes on, he says, "Telling forth the divine counsels, and your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances, and your old men shall dream divinely suggested dreams." Yes. "And on my men servants also, and on my maid servants in those days." Now, the revival he first talks about is coming what? Through the young people. And then it'll be through the older. He says, "Men servants and maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. And I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoking vapor. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the obvious day of the Lord comes. That great and notable and conspicuous and renowned day. And it shall be that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord Christ, shall be saved." We got shaking coming, we got hard times coming, but this is coming too. And what? We got to be ready. You know, I told you I didn't know what that 90-degree turn was, and I still really don't know. And I thought it might be something bad, you know, because I've seen a lot of stuff here. But I was talking to Scotty about it one day, and he told me, he said, "Teresa," he said, "the 90-degree turn's got to be good, because if it wasn't, God would have told me." And I'm like, bing, let your elevator go to the top. Let the light come on. He's right. It's going to be good. But guess what? We got to be ready. We got to be ready. Say 50 people came in this morning at 11 o'clock. What you going to do? What you going to do? They got 15 kids. What you going to do with them? They're up here swinging on the podium. What you going to do with them? I ain't going to do nothing with them. Then you're not ready. See, if we can't handle what He sends, He'll have to send them somewhere else. Why? He's faithful to them. He's faithful to them. But the thing about it is, He's faithful to us, and we're all hearing Him, and I believe we're all working on it, and I believe we're all going to be ready when they come. Because, see, they got to come. They got to come. And we're going to be ready, and God's going to do some good stuff. Does anybody have anything they'd like